So, namaste, welcome back. And I have totally forgotten what I was going to talk about. Let's see if it comes back. Yes, yeah, so the major, one of the major themes of that satsang we just had, well, there were several, but bliss, desire, glimpses, allowing the glimpses, and what really is it that shifts and changes permanently when awakening has occurred in a rich and deep way. So I thought it might be useful just to talk about that for a while during this session, to really look into that. What is it that's different in an awakened being? What is it that's become habitual and continuous and effortless that isn't before? What is the difference there? Because it really helps to know where we're heading towards, doesn't it? Otherwise, it's just some kind of destination in a way that we're not sure. So the difference in my own journey, the thing that became effortless and continuous, that it was kind of twofold. So I really want to go through that. The first thing that became continuous and effortless was investigation into what I really am. So that went from being very sporadic for the first time I ever self-inquired over a period of years to becoming more and more frequent, and meditation as well, of course. And meditation on that part of me that's permanent and unchanging, as we were talking about with Nidhi, became more and more continuous, not necessarily in terms of how much time I was doing it or self-inquiring, because we all have as much time as we have. We have our commitments in life. But the amount of time I was interested in, the amount of time I wanted to know more, the intensity of the desire to kind of fall deeper in love with that real self that we are, was becoming, and you can probably notice this in your own life, in your own journey, that there is something deepening, something becoming more urgent, something becoming more powerful, something beginning to gain a momentum on its own, this kind of drive towards seeing ever clearer what we really are. And for me, this was never really fully satisfied, even after a big glimpse or an aha moment or some pivotal shift. There was, I think the longest I ever remember feeling peaceful was about 10 minutes. And then there was this kind of discontent that came back again, this not necessarily suffering, but some kind of, this isn't the wholeness of it. This isn't all there is to see. Some kind of, there is more, not in an out there way, but there's something more for me to see. And this gradually just became continuous, that there was always this kind of soft, ever softening desire, devotion to, and the place where they both meet, the desire to see the truth and the devotion to what is true become very intertwined. So there's this place where that became the most important thing for me. And there's a recognition at one point that if I just keep seeing what I really am as clear as I can, that everything I'm wanting in my life anyway is going to come as a reflection of that anyway. So it's not that I stop wanting things out there, but more that it became clear that the most effective way to get those or to allow those to come into my experience was as a reflection, an enhancement, a mirror image of what I was feeling inside. So can I have something come into my life that wants to enhance my joy when I'm feeling miserable or feeling guilty or feeling fearful or any of that? And that's my predominant way of being. Can something happen in the reflection in my outer world that's going to enhance my experience? Or can it only happen when it agrees with my current experience, how I'm already feeling? So that intensity of the fire inside got bigger and bigger and bigger. And perhaps most surprisingly for me, the sense that I had this idea that once I'd forgotten how to resist, that fire would die away, would diminish, it had done its job. The devotion to truth would no longer be needed or something like that. And much to my surprise, it just got even more intense. Seeing the immensity of what you really are, the profound nature of the silence, the infinite stillness that is you, seeing yourself show up as all of this, falling more and more in love with that every day is endless, really, as we've been saying. So I kind of somehow just accepted that for the rest of my life, I'd be getting more and more obsessed with truth. And I didn't know how that was possible because I was already pretty obsessed, as I'm sure you are right now. But that somehow that could continue to increase and it became effortless. That every time I saw or had a revelation or a deepening or more peace, love, joy, bliss, there was always this kind of, that's great, and what else is there? Not in a disappointed way, oh, that's, put that over there, I'm not going to look at it. There was an enjoyment of it, but also staying open for more. Just as if this is a flower that begins to open slowly at first and then just gathers in momentum and can never stop opening. It's infinite, the unfolding of this awakened state or condition through the body mind, the showing, the reflection of it. And that became like a thirst that never went away, a thirst for more, but not a seeking, as we were saying in the satsang, not a desperate, I have to get this thing or else I'm not going to feel good. Just more of a diving into the richness and realizing what infinite really means, that this just keeps on getting better. And that is my role, my right, my responsibility to kind of probe the depths of that. How full on can this life be? What can it look like in its fullest expression? When it's no longer limited the self by ideas that it's a separate being, what can that blossom into? And in this particular body mind, how many beings can this body mind be instrumental in helping to see the truth? But in your own life, it will have its own way that it wants to flower and blossom. So embracing that devotion, desire, kind of intensity, obsession, none of those words really fully describe it, but you can kind of get a sense of it. That became continuous. This kind of passion for existence. What is this existence? What is it without my ideas behind it? What is it without any limitation upon it? What does that look like? What does that feel like as well? To be doing something that everyone else calls mundane, driving down the same road I've driven down day after day, year after year, but without any reason for doing that, without trying to get anything out of it, what is that like in its fullness? And that today is richer and more powerful for me than it was yesterday and will continue to increase. That it has no ability to limit itself, that desire, when it's allowed. That we actually are here to have it all. And I don't necessarily mean thousands in the bank or the biggest business that was ever built in the entire planet, although it might look like that, but have it all as in everything I would like to feel in here and never being able to run out of anything out there, because out there is a reflection of in here. Infinite supply and infinitely experiencing that as my life, literally. So that kind of intensity, that kind of remembering to self-inquire, that kind of spontaneous urge to deepen just became continuous, so that the inquiry, the meditation began to happen more and more effortlessly, more continuously. And without a meditator or an inquirer, there's just inquiry. There's just self-inquiry, wanting to know what you really are, as we're going to do in the next session. It's really a form of love, isn't it? I want to explore what I am. There's no deeper way to fall in love with yourself than that. And so same with meditation, contemplation, as we were saying. So noticing that, if you look at your own life, isn't this fire, this passion, isn't it building? Isn't your inquiry happening more and more effortlessly? Isn't something gaining momentum on its own? Despite my best resistance, this still happened and bliss still broke through. Anyway, even as we were talking about before, this kind of, I don't want to feel it just in case it disappears and I can't keep a hold of it. And I don't want to feel that disappointment of this great dimension of being opening up, this authenticity, this confidence, this reality, and then having it seemingly gone. Even my defense mechanism against that, I had to break down in this kind of intensity. So you probably noticed that that was one of the things that became, and you'll notice it happening in your own life, more and more driven, but not in a seeking way, more and more purposeful, but not in a doing way, more in a being way. This is more of what I'm being. Inquiry is what I am rather than something I'm doing. And then the other thing, the second thing was this kind of sense that I could never stop applying this to my life. There's always going to be some deeper place where I can have a deeper application of what I've seen to be true. So even if I've seen that I'm not separate to anything, there's still perhaps more I can apply that in this relationship. There's a deeper, richer intimacy between me and this being possible today than there was yesterday. There's a fuller, rounder, more wholesome experience of love appearing as these two human bodies that we call a relationship. Whatever form that takes, whether it's professional or romantic or friendship or whichever way that goes, even teacher and student, all of that. So there was a kind of a devotion also to, as it just got more fuller in here, there was just this outpouring, wanting to kind of pour it out into the world. And I know that sounds kind of poetic, but it was just, there's just kind of too much of it here without suffering. It wasn't like too much as in I can't take it, but just everyone else should have some of this too. And you'll notice eventually that begins, if not already, to happen for you. That your presence, the presence, begins to change everyone around you also, as it fills you up, your body, mind, up to fullness, restores you back to that original fullness, and then begins to have an influence on everyone else. That was perhaps the most important thing, really the two things that became effortless and continuous, an urge to see deeper and clearer that never stops and builds in intensity, less and less resistance to that. And eventually, even if there is resistance, it's happening anyway, despite the resistance. And eventually not even having to overcome resistance, it's just there's resistance and there's also inquiry or meditation going on at the same time, contemplation. And also a deep respect for every other being that seems to be there, wanting to show that love by that appreciation, that understanding what they actually are, by deepening your relationship. And life, all of the outer world is about relationships, isn't it? Our relationship with ourself, first of all, our relationship with our family, our friends, our loved ones, our romantic partner, our job, our relationship with money, our relationship with awakening itself, our relationship with time. It's really about how we are with that thing. Can we constantly sharpen our edge, as if life is giving us opportunities to constantly sharpen this edge of a sword, which really cuts through illusion. And that is the application, the seeing, and then the being just became not something I was having to push. It just began to happen more and more on its own. And maybe you can see that happening, something speeding up, something quickening to where it consumes all of your life, that this is the most important thing, that I want to see this and be this completely in my life. I want to express this so fully that I can't help but kind of influence everyone around me without trying. Just, it's just kind of happening. Everyone's happier when they're sat with me than when they're not. And they can't kind of be so unhappy when they're in that kind of presence, you know. So whether there's conscious recognition of that or not, it's happening for you. And right back to where we started in this intensive, this kind of dual mechanism of ego, trying to push away something and trying to hold on to something else. This dual mechanism breaks down in this kind of filling up to fullness that goes on in here and then pouring outwards constantly. Infinite, like infinite, and I mean infinite. I can never fully get to the bottom of the love that I am and all of that, and then pouring out into the world. It's very hard to grab a hold of anything when it's coming so fast, so freely, so abundantly, this love, this peace. And it's very hard to resist any emotion, negative emotion or experience, when it's constantly being poured this loving presence onto it, or when fear is happening in the body as a sensation, in the immensity of peace that's just cushioning it and holding it. Maybe I'll learn to speak by the time this intensive is over. Cushioning it and embracing it in the fullness of who we really are. It's harder and harder to resist anything then, because of the sweet joy that comes from embracing something, even something that our mind would want to push away. So these are the two things that really, this whole mechanism really sort of turned into this, you know, kind of just filling up to fullness and radiating outwards. And that became more and more effortless. And it might sound like some amazing place, like, whoa, I'd really like to experience that. But it's already occurring for you if you look, if you really look. Yes, sometimes we still resist. And, you know, don't believe for a second that I never resist anything, that there's never any resistance that comes up inside. It happens, but it's just, oh, there's some resistance. I didn't know I could still do that. And it's fine. It's absolutely fine. It's just embraced again in that richness. And a recognition occurred within me that if I'm not feeling effortless peace, love, and joy, I must be resisting it somehow. We talked about the mechanism of that in the satsang, why we do that and how we do that. And as I began to recognize I must be resisting it, I began to experience more of it. I began to let it in bit by bit. I began to realize it's safe to do that, that I could still function like that. And I began to see I actually function better when I'm blissed out than when I'm scared or, you know, resisting or something like that. That maybe the idea I had of being blissed out was, you know, something back from the 60s where, you know, people were just, or some other state. The only other time I've experienced that kind of feeling was with alcohol or, you know, stuff like that when I was younger. And that led to a lack of functionality, lack of coherence. But here it's the difference. It's a total 180. The better I feel, the better my body functions. The more energy I have, the more time seems to flow in a way that works for me. The more vitality I've got, the more patience I've got for others, the more compassion, and all of it. So turning around these ideas of why I can't allow things like bliss, why it's a bad idea, according to the mind at least, was pivotal. And What would you like to leave when you leave this body mind vehicle? What would you like to be your legacy? Yes, you can immediately get another body mind vehicle if you're having such a party of it by then. If it's a wild, wild party, you know, exploration of who you really are, where would you want to say this is my final body mind vehicle? If you've fallen in love with what it means to be a human being so completely, why stop? But as you're leaving, exiting the vehicle for the last time, what do you want to be that final moment? And, you know, I realized, and I'm saying this to hopefully inspire you, that, and I touched upon it before, that I want this human existence to be all that it could possibly have been. And that's constantly changing. I want to experience every moment. There's only one moment, but for sake of explanation, I want to go to bed every night feeling like, wow, that was the best day ever. Whether that's just sitting around watching Netflix all day, binge watching something that's really fun, or whether it's doing this, or whether it's seeing my family, or whatever it looks like. Like, wow, that was just so much fun to just experience that, to just experience that. To just allow that in the fullness and the richness of who you are. Life without any shoulds or shouldn'ts on yourself. What does that look like? What does that feel like? I shouldn't be feeling this emotion. Well, you are. You know, I shouldn't be resisting bliss. Well, you are. Can you soften up around that a bit? I shouldn't be still experiencing this karmic pattern. Well, you are. And the shoulding and shouldn'ting are the only things that is keeping all of that in place, usually now. The should and the shouldn't is the resistance, really. It is this mechanism. I should be able to feel joy all the time. It really kind of makes us grab a hold of it when we feel it, when we experience it, and then push away the seeming opposite of fear or guilt or shame. And that mechanism will just begin to unravel for you. So what is it like to not be able to resist anything or hold on to anything? What is that like? And that really was the thing that broke down for me. And like I said before, I don't know when it stopped. I just noticed at some point in retrospect, in hindsight, that I couldn't do that anymore. There wasn't any big fireworks moment. There were no angels that came down and said, congratulations, now you're enlightened. There wasn't anything like that. There was just one day, intense fear and no ability to resist it. And then there was peace as well in this bliss, and then bliss and peace and fear. At the same time, it was an extraordinary recognition that I just cannot find it within myself to resist. And that isn't arrived at by accident. That's arrived at by consciously recognizing where am I resisting right now, and can I soften my shoulds and shouldn'ts? Can I love myself more in this moment? You know, all human beings resist the bad feelings, the negative feelings, and all human beings try to hold on to the good stuff. Trying to deny that fact is like insanity, isn't it? Saying that we shouldn't be doing it when we still are is really pretty much insanity. The moment that you stop trying to change yourself and reject yourself, it doesn't matter whether resistance is there or not, you will feel how you want to feel anyway. So it might be that I'm rejecting myself in some area of my life that's causing the bliss to seemingly be diminished or absent. I might sit in meditation every day, but then criticize myself when I go to work. I might be really good at transcending karmic patterns, but then just constantly judging myself when I'm with my family or trying to fit into a particular shape. Where can you stop doing that? Where can you, in your life, just show up as you are? And who said that wasn't good enough anyway? Who said that wasn't good enough anyway? Why does that make, why is that thought so listened to? Can you make a conscious choice slightly more often to be as you are? And then as you are is going to look more and more like you would like it to be. So whether I'm calling it resistance or this kind of mechanism, I'm calling it being as you are, showing up, all the same thing, really. Authenticity. That really was, in one word, what became habitual and then effortless for me. As I am right now in this moment is as I am. And I had some beautiful human experiences where I felt so much joy, peace, love, bliss, even ecstasy, that I had to learn to just allow. And I had some horrible human moments where my life fell apart, where I had despair, all of that. But I couldn't reject that experience. I couldn't. Even then, there was still peace. Where you think life's going to go this way and it goes this way. And all of your ideas are swept aside in that moment. So from the highest human experience to the lowest, from heaven to hell, and still a love and authenticity in that moment. That this is me in this moment despairing. This is me feeling shame. This is me feeling fear. This is me feeling showing up as unworthiness. As I began to do that, then the heaven and hell began to kind of come more like this. And it's still kind of going like this now, except the gap has closed. There's a tiny, minuscule gap. Instead of it being down here, my worst experience I could have and my best, then it just kind of gradually did this. Just by showing up as you are, what would your life look like if you stopped judging yourself right now? If you judge others, so what? You'll stop it when you can. Judge yourself, so what? You'll stop it when you can. There's a simplicity here in this. As you practice it, it becomes a habit. Anything you practice becomes a habit. And that's really all the awakened state is, where non-resistance, non-judgment has become a habit. Because it's been chosen again and again and again, consciously chosen. And that's the choice we have, the free will we have as a human being in any moment. Am I going to criticize myself, even when I'm criticizing others? Can I love myself in that moment and accept? I'd like this to stop, but it will stop whenever it stops. And it doesn't mean what my mind is saying about someone else or myself or life or my awakening has no relevance at all to reality. My mind is just doing what it does. And I'm not responsible for that. It'd be nice if it stopped saying those things, but that might be some time before it stops. Do you have to wait for it to finish? Or can you just allow that with a kind of what isness? That's just what it's doing. So I hope somewhere in all of that, there's been a hopefully a clearer understanding of what becomes habitual and effortless. And really, if we want the ultimate simplicity, it came down to this word authenticity. However I'm showing up in this moment is okay, completely. Not okay because it's going to change into something better, which will probably happen, but okay because it is how I'm showing up. Just authenticity and love become the same thing, are the same thing then. And as you do this for yourself, it becomes automatic to do it for other people. How they're showing up is totally okay. Doesn't mean necessarily you want to be around everyone, but there's a respect for how they're showing up too. And this really is right back full circle to being the self, because that is the nature of the self. It can only be authentic. It can't function any other way. It can only be exactly what it is. Could it be that moving from ego to self is simply a habit that you can consciously build? And until, like any habit, there's a certain amount of conscious effort for a certain amount of time, and then it becomes automatic, effortless. It just happens. Thank you.